that on for you.
All right, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. That's one blessing about being called on at the last minute. Don't take long to make up your mind what you're going to talk about. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, good to be in God's house this morning. Good to be alive this morning. And it's good to be saved this morning. So all in all, it's a good day so far. Amen. All right, the book of Proverbs chapter 1. And this morning I was going to preach a message out of Ephesians rather than preaching on Father's Day, but we can just pretend that this Sunday school lesson is a Father's Day lesson. And I've been teaching in our church through the book of Proverbs, and I think we're on chapter 7 or something right now. But this is a real good study. And when we opened up the book of Proverbs down at the church, I tried to come at it from this vantage point. A lot of folks have been saved by the grace of God. They've become God's children. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Yeah. And so it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. It's a wonderful thing to have God as your father. But I'm afraid that in this generation where discipline isn't running rampant in the streets, yeah. Chaos is running rampant in the streets, I'm afraid a lot of people have skipped the step of learning to be people before they're learning to be angels. And I understand the theology. We're not angels, and we're not going to be angels when we get to heaven, but we are going to be God's sons. But you know, a lot of times you get people in church, you try to teach them how to be angels, and they haven't learned how to be kids yet. They might be 50 years old or 45 or 35 or 25, but they haven't even learned how to be 12 yet. And kids get into high school, and you got two 12-year-olds teaching each other how to be 13. Neither one of them has any experience. Yeah. And so it's just not going to turn out right. It's not going to turn out right. So going through the book of Proverbs, I just come at it from this vantage point. We're saved by the grace of God, and I'm thankful that we are. But along the way, some of us, and I'm not talking about some of you, we're well-trained, and I'm thankful for that. But some of us need to learn how to be children before we learn how to be Christians. And you can do those things at the same time. I just say that for emphasis and say that for effect. A lot of people are trying to be Christians when they really don't know how to be regular humans and be respectful to their father and mother and respect those that are in authority, legitimate authority. And so there's a lot of things that people really need to focus on rather than truth of the Trinity. And that's not taking anything away from the truth of the Trinity. The truth shall make, not set you free, but make you free. And you need as much Bible study as you can. But along the way, don't forget to learn that it's very difficult to deal with a God that you can't see when you don't know how to deal with people that you can see. And that's biblical truth. The Lord said, how can you say, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, how can you say you love a God that you have not seen when you don't love your brother who you have seen? So the relationship between fathers and sons is fathers teach the sons and instill wisdom in their sons, and then sons learn to associate and treat fairly their other sons, the brothers and sisters and so forth and so on. So the book of Proverbs is great for that. I get under conviction every time I read through the book of Proverbs because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God calls foolish men, not many wise, not many noble. And so he says that that God has entrusted these things of wisdom into the hands of fools that he can confound the wise. And so when I read the book of Proverbs, I'm convicted and convinced that when you think that you know something, you don't know anything. Amen. And so let's look here in the book of Proverbs. Did I pray already? Somebody told me I preached 15 minutes Wednesday night or Sunday night or whenever we was in church last, and then I prayed twice or something. I don't know. I don't know if that's senile or just spiritual. I'm going to go with senile rather than spiritual because I don't feel spiritual all that much. But let's pray, and then let's get into the book of Proverbs. Lord, we do
thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for allowing us to be here, for saving us. Thank you, God, for letting us get up today and just come to your house, God, and set aside the things of the world and the things that worry us and the things that confound us. And just for a few minutes, God, look into your word and as they used to say, put the bucket down in the well and draw some cool, refreshing water from your word this morning. We'll thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, verse number one, Proverbs 1 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Happy Father's Day. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. So that's I think that's probably more verses than we can get through this morning. But if you go back up to verse number 2, he's giving you the reasons for the writing of the book, to know wisdom. Some of you need that. Amen. Amen. Some of you need that. Yeah. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Everything that somebody teaches you, you probably shouldn't listen to. I can't say it enough, and it seems like it comes to my mind every time I preach just about any place. Please don't get your doctrines off the internet. Amen. Amen. There's very few internet gurus out there that knows what they're talking about, and most of it's just about money. And so let's stick with the church, amen? Yeah. I hear so much about this day and time about, well, churches is bad and everything's bad, so we'll just go have church in our house and forget everybody else. Listen, if the Lord's not going to forsake the church, you can't. Yeah. Amen? That's about as good a point as I can think of to keep people from forsaking the church. If the Lord said, I'll never leave you and forsake you, what business do we have thinking we're good enough to forsake the church? Amen? Amen? So it just makes sense to me. But he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Every one of us this morning should have prayed and asked God to give us something from the Word of God. Amen. Long before we got here. Lord, please help me to understand something. And I find that if you will ask, he'll give. If you'll seek, you'll find. And too many times we're not looking for anything. Therefore, we don't see it as it's passing by. And we'll have preachers preach, and we'll have a witness to us. And the reason we're not interested, or the reason why we don't perceive the words of understanding that's being given to us, is because we weren't looking for that to begin with. And many are going the way of entertainment and dynamics and all this kind of stuff, trying to stir up. Well, listen, you need the Lord to stir you up. Yeah. Amen. You need the Lord to stir you up. And so what you need to be doing is looking for words of understanding and then perceiving. I pray on a regular basis, and I ask the Lord, Lord, show me somebody that's got the answer. Show me somebody that's got the wisdom. Show me somebody that's got the understanding to teach me the things that I need to know. Because as a pastor of a church, I still need preaching. Yeah. And I still need to be taught, and I still need to learn. Amen. I still need to grow. Amen. And if you ever get into that place where you're not growing, well, I think most of you around here, you live in pretty much the same kind of topography. I don't know too much about science, but the ground here is the same as the ground where I live. It's flat and wet and swampy, And you know what happens when the water sits still too long. It gets stagnant, doesn't it? So don't stop growing and don't stop learning. And so he says that's what this book is for. It's to help you to know wisdom, to know instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. That way when somebody's preaching or teaching and it's not biblical, it's not doctrinally sound, you'll say, well, I'm be praying for this guy as he preaches, but I just don't believe it that way. And I'm glad we have freedom of conscience and liberty of conscience, and we ought to be submitted to Bible preaching, but we ought to be submitted to true Bible preaching. Amen. I believe in authority. I believe in pastoral authority. I believe in all that stuff, but I think it's like the Bible says, submit yourselves one to another. I have to be submitted to you as a congregation to preach the truth, and you have to be submitted to me in that you need to be listening for the Word of God, not the Word of Mike or the Word of the Pope or any such thing like that, but listening to the Word of God. And that's the manner that God set up, just like in a home. The father has to be submitted to the child. You've probably never heard that preached before in your life. But a father has to be submitted to his child to provide his food, to provide his comfort, to provide his mercy, to provide instruction, to provide a trade, to provide an education. That takes submission. You have to look that child in the face and say, I owe you, and submit yourself to that. And that's what you have to do as a son of God. You have to submit yourself to God, submit yourself to the truth, submit yourself to instruction. And as you'll see, if you read the book of Proverbs, you'll see it many, many times that fools hate instruction. Fools hate instruction. Just look on Facebook to all your Christian friends and see how many of them are talking bad about preachers who preach and try to instruct other people in the way to live. Listen, I don't care if you've been alive 90 years, you need instruction in the way to live. And if you're the type of person that says, I don't need no instruction, I don't need nobody telling me what to do, you are a rebel. Rebel. And I don't mean Johnny Reb from down south. I mean you're rebelling against God. You need somebody to instruct you. Amen. That's the way it is. And you have to be submitted to that. If you're not submitted to it, you'll kind of drift away from it. I had a boat not too long ago, and I don't have it anymore, but I stepped off the boat, and I was just going to be off the boat for just a second. I was going to jump back on, go catch me some catfish, and I forgot to lash it down, and as I turned around, that thing was already drifting away. And our little river down there, it don't look like it's moving fast, but that's because it's about 40 feet deep. And that water's moving. And I had to jump a pretty long ways. I felt a little like Michael Jordan getting back over there on the boat. But if you just turn your back and if you're not lashed down and if you don't have all your moorings in place, you'll begin to drift away. And the next thing you know, you'll be cold and indifferent and you won't want instruction from anybody. And that goes for that physical as well. Like I said, the book of Proverbs is as much about learning to be a 12-year-old as it is about being a Christian. And if you don't watch out, next thing you know, mama don't know what she's talking about, and daddy just don't understand me. And listen, there's not a 15-year-old or a 12-year-old in this church today, but what your daddy might be the biggest dunce in this town, but he knows what you're up against, and he knows what you're going through. He's been down that road before. Amen. You know, a lot of times say, well, what do you know about my situation? Well, listen, a lot of us has been down to where you're headed and back already. It's not that we're going the same place you are. We've been there and back. We understand that you're in for a mess if you don't follow instructions. Follow instructions. Amen. Follow instructions. If you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough. Somebody said that. Somebody said that a long time ago. I don't know if that's who it was or not, but if it was, that was pretty smart. But that's right. You got to be, listen, if you don't follow instruction, the road's going to be rough. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And you're going to find that out whether you like it or not. You can say, well, I ain't listening to that preacher. Okay, you don't have to listen. There's no police. There's no Christian police that's going to come, lock you up for not listening to the preacher. Again, it's a submission thing. But if you don't listen, it's going to be hard on you. Amen. You can have your way. You can not come back. You can join another denomination. You can do all those things. But the one thing you can't do is escape consequences. Amen. And if I can say anything about the book of Proverbs, it is a book of consequences. And from chapter 1 to chapter 31, well, I shouldn't say chapter 31. Chapter 31 is about something a little bit different. But from chapter 1 to chapter 30, if you do this good, it'll be this way. If you do this bad, it'll be this way. And it's just consequences, actions, consequences, actions, consequences, every chapter. And just as you go through here and teach, I think sometimes the congregation down there in Georgia looks at me like, you just read that last week. No, it was a different chapter. It's just saying the same thing. Amen. And it's over and over. You say, well, it seems to me like the book would be more interesting if it covered more topics. No, there's enough there. You need repetition.
Yeah. Amen.
The first time you lied, your mama whooped you for it.
Yeah.
Even if the state of Delaware says you can't whoop your children, you better whoop a little liar.
Yeah.
Amen. Keep him out of jail. Whoop the little babies behind. You ain't going to kill him. I didn't say abuse him.
Amen.
And then the next time you lied, that was consistency on your part. Mama whooped you again. That's consistency on her part.
Amen.
Pretty soon you quit lying to her anyway.
Yeah,
I'd like to think that we quit lying, but all the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Yeah.
That's about what they are. Amen? Well, repetition. You need to go repetition. And really, as I said before, I read the book of Proverbs and get under conviction. You'd think I get right. But the next time I read through the book of Proverbs, I get under conviction again.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, I'm still wrapped in this flesh, and it's still weak.
Yep.
Well, surely after I read the Bible a couple of times, my flesh will be strong enough not to get under conviction anymore. But no, it's still flesh.
Yep. Amen.
And I'm still a man and still weak and beggarly and made up of weak and beggarly things. And the truth is there to help me next time as well. Thank God for God's long-suffering. It's a wonderful thing that we don't read the book of Proverbs and it says, you're a desperate fool. And we read it again, it says, you're a desperate fool. And the next time, the third time you read it, it says, too late, there's no hope for you. But it doesn't say that, does it?
Amen.
No, it doesn't. God didn't go in there and change it to say that, it's too late for you to learn. And you stay submitted to instruction to the best of your ability, and you'll get a little bit more from it the next time. So he says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment. It's not just to receive wisdom, it's to receive the instruction of wisdom. You think, well, when I learn, I'll have wisdom. No, when you find wisdom, you'll start learning.
Yeah.
It's the instruction of wisdom. Wisdom is teaching you something. And sometimes the Lord will give me the liberty to do it, but you've heard before of a kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Kingdom. K-I-N-G, not D-U-M-B, D-O-M.
Yeah.
They have a theme park named after a kingdom in the state of Virginia. It's called King's Dominion. That's what the word kingdom means, a king's dominion.
Yeah.
Well, wisdom stands for the dominion of the wise. It is a boundary. It, just like a king's dominion is fenced off or walled off inside of a specific place, wisdom, wise things, true things, honest things, smart things, intelligent moves. These things are walled off inside of a dominion. And the owner of that dominion is not a king. It's wisdom herself, wisdom itself. And things, you go outside of those gates and you're playing in the land of fools, where fools have dominion, like California. Amen? And that's just the way that it is. You're going to have to learn to stay inside the boundaries. Independent Baptists don't like boundaries. That's because you're not right with God.
Amen.
Amen. There are boundaries that must be set, and there are statutes that there's statutes in nature. There's statutes with God. There's principles, statutes. I'm not talking about statues like George Washington and Robert E. Lee. I'm talking principles, statutes.
Amen.
I don't know if my southern accent's coming across to you, but there's principles, statutes that must be followed, and when you follow those, you're inside. So, well, some people just following rules because they're blind and stupid or they're Pharisees. Well, at least they're following the rules.
Yeah.
At least they're following the rules. Amen. And so you've got to do that, because once you begin to do that, listen, if you don't understand, I'm getting off track here, but I've never been a fan of telling a kid to do what I say because I said so,
yeah.
Although it must be done. The kid has to learn. You're not asking him to be super intelligent when he's five. You're just asking him to follow the rules.
Yeah.
So he must do what you tell him because you tell him. But there's going to come a day and time, fathers, when you're going to have to sit down and explain to them why. Why do we do this? Why do we do it this way? Why must we come in at a certain time? Why must we not take our neighbor's kid's baseball bat and hide it in your room? There's a reason why you must do these things that are right and wrong. God has never given us a rule or a regulation for no cause or for no profit. The Bible says that God chastens us to our benefit. He says that there are men down here that chasten their children for their own pleasure.
Yeah.
Get out of the room, kid. You bother me. Well, that's not a good way to run a household. It may be true. The kid may be on your last nerve. But that's not the reason for discipline. The reason for discipline is so that they submit themselves to wisdom, and then wisdom itself begins to teach lessons. It says to receive instruction, to receive the instruction of wisdom, of justice. Justice is justice for a reason.
Yep.
Amen? We could go on and on and on about that for days. But I'm just sick to my stomach, and if there's any police officers in the room, you'll just have to take the instruction. I'm sick and tired of seeing police officers writing tickets for busted windshields when they're parked in front of the house writing the ticket in front of a meth lab. Oh, we don't have the funds. You got funds to write speeding tickets. You got funds to chase meth addicts.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans 13, and again in another place, which the reference eludes me right now, but the government was sent here to punish evildoers. And last time I checked, traveling 55 miles in an hour or 65 miles an hour is not evil. Speeding is not evil. Recklessness is evil. Carelessness is evil. But I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you that in this day and age, we're majoring in the minors. We're nitpicking things that really don't make that much of a difference when just great evil is run. I'm talking about justice. Justice teaches its own lesson. Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now, fathers. You ought to consider what is just and what is justice when you're disciplining your kids. 20 lashes with a belt because he didn't get in bed fast enough, I'm just not sure that's justice. If you told him to go to bed and he snuck out the back window and went out and partied all night, okay. But we're talking about justice. And when a child starts receiving justice, he starts learning from justice. In other words, the verse said that justice teaches its own lessons. Instruction. He said to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. Some of us simple folks, we need a level playing field, don't we? If life was too much of an uphill struggle for me, then I'm not sure if I would have the strength to climb those hills. But the wisdom of the Lord gives great equity where it concerns fools, like he called us to preach in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You say, well, how in the world am I supposed to preach? How am I supposed to preach when I'm a fool or when I'm not very noble or when I don't have all the funds that I need? How am I supposed to get ahead when I'm so far behind physically and mentally? Well, the wisdom of the Lord gives great equity. It levels the playing field. Amen. It teaches you to want more. I tell you, the first time you're reading your Bible and God shows you something great and wonderful, it'll make you want to get, it's just like sitting down in front of a buffet. I'll take some more, please. And you know what happens as the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God and truth and wisdom begin to meet together in your soul, the ground starts getting level. The power of God begins to come about. And then when some great educated person begins to, there's nothing wrong with education at all. But when education, like Lester Roloff said, education without salvation equals damnation. Well, when somebody begins to speak down to the Lord will already have you armed. When they speak down about God or about salvation or about any of those things, the Lord will put you on an even playing field with them. So much so, Paul said, I'm all things to all men. And it doesn't mean he's a sinner he doesn't mean he's a reprobate with the reprobates. Right. But it means he's fully armed to deal with any situation as far as preaching the gospel is concerned. Equity. It doesn't come by just sitting around waiting for it to come. You have to apply yourself and study, and you have to receive it, to receive the instruction. Well, if you put as much emphasis on spiritual things as I put on math, God help you in your future. I'm looking for go to the bookstore and I'll be looking for some little workbooks to help me with my math. And I'm looking at the simple math going, this Greek, I need the English version. I don't know if you can write numbers in Greek or not, but it's what it looks like to me. But so you have to apply yourself early. I don't know if I think my mind works okay, but it seems like at 48 years old, it's just very difficult to learn math at this age. I'm looking at these numbers on the paper and my mind is thinking iced tea and Coca-Cola and my grass needs mowed. Well, that's a great thing about learning while you're a kid. There's no kids in here thinking about mowing the grass. So little to distract you. I mean, so learn math while you got the chance. But I use that really as I hate math, and I'm not really recommending math. I recommend you listen to your mother and do your math. But what I'm trying to get across to you is, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because there'll come a day when there's a hardening effect to foolishness. A hardening effect. Tonight, I think I'll preach the message tonight about how to grow as a Christian. And God has a hardening process to help you in the right way. But if you don't have patience and if you don't have wisdom, if you don't have understanding, man, it's going to be harder as you go. As you go, you'll harden yourself and you'll begin to just, this is the way it is and this is the way it's always been. And you'd rather go through the hardship than to do good things. And a lot of that's out of habit. A lot of it's out of addiction. Well, you know, a lot of people say they have patience, but they don't really have patience. They're just addicted to hard times. They'd rather have the hard times than, in other words, it'd be harder to do the right thing at your age or at your level of commitment. Man, once you commit to a thing and all your friends know it, just you would like to think you're above peer pressure, but a lot of you are not. And once you're committed to a thing, it's very hard to back out of it. Yep. It's easier to suffer the consequences. Now, I'm not talking about literally easier. People consider it to be literally easy. People consider it to be easier to suffer the consequences than to turn around and do good things. Right. So you're not patient. That means you're hard-headed. Yep. It's not patience. That's hard-headedness. Well, what you need to do is as early and as soon as you possibly can, addict yourselves to doing the right thing, and then good consequences will come. You won't even have to be addicted to it anymore. When I was a kid, you didn't have to convince me to play football or anything like that. I loved it already. Well, I don't know if I want to go out and play or not. Well, there wasn't any other option. We can wash dishes and vacuum the floors or feed the horses or all that kind of stuff. Well, we could go play. It's not hard for me. Learn to like it, amen? Learn to like it. Just like we had to do with eating vegetables. Learn to like it. I don't know what in the world was wrong with me as a kid. Kids are kind of stupid. I've eaten so much fried squash since I turned 30 years old that I just kept, before 30? No, sir, it wouldn't. Well, I had to learn to like it. Well, you got to learn to love the truth, and you got to learn to love instruction. You got to love to learn it, amen? And just eat it, amen? To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. You know what discretion is? Discretion is something that everybody under 30 years old is really looking for but don't know about it. If you're over 30, you're probably stuck where you have to do it whether you know how to do it or not. Discretion is the ability to make your own decisions. Everybody under 30 wants to do it. If you're 29, you're thinking, I know what to do and all these people don't trust me to do it. Well, just hang on a couple of years, one more year, and you'll be forced to start making those decisions. And then you'll be saying, can somebody else make these decisions for me? Yeah. Sometimes I think I'm on decision overload. My wife says, what do you want for supper tomorrow? I said, I'm not done with the day yet. I don't want the stress of having to decide what to eat tomorrow because I'm pretty tied up today in all these great decisions I've got to make today, like whether to shave or not, or whether to take a bath or shower or anything like that. So sufficient for the day is the evil thereof, amen? And but you'll be faced with some decisions. You need to know how to get the right one, because the wrong one hurts. There's so much more to life than deciding what to wear and deciding whether or not you look cool or not.
Yeah, that's right.
So much, so many more decisions than that, that you won't even be able to believe it. Amen? I mean, it's just, there's a lot of stuff out there in this, and you know that stuff, what to wear, that's just superficial vanity.
Amen.
You're going to have to decide what's best for your children and stick with it, and that's going to affect the rest of their lives. And run outside and don't bother me because I'm trying to watch this soap opera is the worst decision you ever made. It's the worst decision you ever made as far as your children are concerned. I will put it that way. There's some bad decisions in this life, and it's easy for people. We're talking about learning how to be people. It's easy for people to make bad decisions. I'll do it later. That's a bad decision. Most of the time, that's a bad decision. Well, maybe somebody else will take care of it. That's a bad decision. Everybody else is just as lazy as you are.
Amen.
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 Well, I'm thankful God gave me a wife that's not as lazy as I am. She takes care of a lot. She really does. But all of you ain't going to have good wives. Some of you are going to get married to a battle axe. Amen. Some of you ladies going to, some of you young girls going to wind up married to some of these undisciplined young kids that knows how to play basketball better than they do swing a hammer.
That's right.
Or PlayStation or something like that.
Amen.
Listen, fellas, if you're going to play the PlayStation, you ought to play about 7 hours of construction work to every 15 minutes of PlayStation you're going to play. Play whatever you want to, amen? I mean, this, I've fallen into it a little bit myself. I mean, we get on to people for playing stuff, but I played checkers when I was a boy. Just different games. But if you're going to play games, at some point you're going to have to decide. Time to go to work now.
Amen.
And some of you daddies need to make that decision for them.
Amen.
Well, the government says we can't work. I don't care what the government says. Put the little scrawny rebel jerk out in the backyard and make him work till he passes out.
Amen.
You say, why? Because one day he's going to get a wife. One day he's going to have some little kids. And he's going to have to make some decisions.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you know where decisions come from? Experience.
Right, yep.
That's where they come from. No experience, bad decision.
Yeah.
I very rarely see anybody with no experience make good decisions.
That's right.
I spent about the first 3 or 4 years as a pastor making bad decisions. You say, why? No experience.
Right, amen.
Well, I feel like I'm spiritual enough to make this decision, and we're going to do this. Now, you're making bad decisions. And you know what the Lord says about stuff like that? Go ahead and make them.
Yep.
You ain't listening to him no ways. Go ahead and make them and learn from your mistakes, hard head. But he says to give to the young man knowledge and discretion. Knowledge and discretion, the ability to make decisions. How long do I got here? I can't really see the clock.
5 minutes.
All right. All right. Okay, look what he says in verse number 6. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Sometimes what the preacher says just sounds like Greek or Latin, doesn't it?
Amen.
But everything, the Bible says we have the kind of hope that causes us to use great plainness of speech. But let's just face it, sometimes you're going to hear things that you don't understand. And what you're going to have to do, you can go and ask, hey, let's talk about this. I want to understand what you're talking about there. Or you can go home and, I should say, not or, but and you can go home and take out your Bible and read it for yourself. And the great blessing of Christianity, I mentioned authority a while ago, and I do believe in those things, but one of the great blessings of Christianity, besides the makeup of the church and the administration of the church that God certainly did give, within the confines of that church, the Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own heart, in his own mind, and so that I have the liberty to listen to a preacher preach, and if I don't understand it, I can go to him and talk with him about it, and I can go home and study it for myself, because it's not, this book is not locked up with chain and lock and key behind the closed doors of a priest's office, and I can study it myself and look at it myself and find out what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Scripture itself. And that's such a great blessing, amen? And so he says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark saying. Let me say this and I'll be done. Look in verse number 9. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. An ornament of grace. You know what? The New Age movement and the witchcraft movement and the demon worshiping movement, they'll sell you a little chain, and if it's red or green or purple or whatever color, it has its own little spell or its own little blessing on it, and it's not a blessing. But it's you wear this chain and you'll have good luck, or you get your four-leaf clover and you'll have good luck. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about pendants and chains and all these things. But listen, you know there is truth behind the concept. Not that you can go out to the witchcraft market and buy a good luck charm. But what it says is if you, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace about thy head. That's as good luck charm as you're going to get. They put on a chain that makes somebody fall in love with them. They put on a chain that's supposed to be blessed by the witch doctor to give them riches and wealth and stuff. Listen, if you want good outcomes, obey your father and mother. That never disappears all the way through your Bible. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Obey your parents in the Lord. So all these things, you say, what do I get from it? An ornament of grace. God will be merciful to you. God will deal with you kindly. God will deal with you in a lovely way if you'll just be obedient. Submit yourselves to the authorities that are in your life, and it'll be an ornament of grace. It'll be a good luck charm hanging around your neck. He said chains hanging about your neck. Amen. Now, you're not going to catch me wearing no necklaces or nothing like that. But I don't need a gold necklace hanging around my neck or a big fat gold ring on my finger. I've got the grace of God hanging around my shoulders. And that you can't beat that. You can't beat that, amen? Matter of fact, the grace of God will keep the witch doctors away from you, amen? It might even keep these medical doctors away from you. Amen. Great possibility, is it not? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity, God, to open the Word of God and just be able to speak for a few minutes. And I pray that you'd take what's been said. And a large range of things have been said here this morning. But I pray, God, the person that it was intended for would take it and apply it to their hearts and lives. That would, God, that every person in the building would take these things and get them down inside of our hearts and let them set up in form of godliness just like concrete in our soul. And we'll thank you, oh God, for what you do for us. Lead us and guide us. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.